What's up, guys? Welcome to the Strength Connection. I am Michael Kirkowski, and I'm here to connect you with the top minds in the world of strength to share stories, insights, and experiences to help you become stronger every day. To stay up to date with everything happening with the show, go to www.thebreakthroughsecrets.com, where you will get updates on all new episodes as soon as they drop, including all new programs and playbooks developed from each episode of the Strength Connection. And on top of that, you'll also receive a free copy of the One Day Strength Challenge. It's the playbook that incorporates proven strength aerobics training, along with the skill of intuition to help you create, design, and achieve your perfect training plan that fits around your busy schedule. So just go to www.thebreakthroughsecrets.com and grab your free copy today. Lastly, if you're enjoying the podcast, please take a moment to subscribe and leave an awesome review. It does so much in helping spread the message of strength, and we greatly appreciate your support. So today, I get to chat with the fit foodie himself, Mickey Jogalef from Austin, Texas. I first met Mickey when he was the program director for Trevor Cashy Nutrition, one of the top health and nutrition programs in the world, and he's a coach of Superhuman and owner of Keep It Simple Sales. If you follow Mickey at all, you undoubtedly have seen him eating some insanely delicious-looking food while still sporting about 50 abdominals, as him and his wife, Sam, run Fit Foodies on Wheels, which has documented their almost 10-month journey traveling around the country and eating at some of the most incredible restaurants and food paradises while still maintaining their tip-top physical condition. So I was excited to talk with Mickey about this journey and how he manages to enjoy all this quote-unquote bad food and still stay really lean and really fit. So we dove into all of his planning and how he manages it with his wife, Sam. We also got into his journey coming up in health and fitness and how he lost over 90 pounds after a friend essentially called him out. It was such a blast connecting with Mickey because on the surface of seeing his content, you can easily assume that either he has freak genetics and is able to eat anything he wants at all times and still, or he's just posting pics and not really eating like that. Neither is true at all, and it was great to really get the full story of it here. So you can check out Mickey on Instagram at JogoLift or at FitFoodies on Wheels. So without further ado, we'll get on with the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you on the inside. And we are live. Mickey, what's up, man?
How's it going, sir?
It's a nice shirt that you got on there, dude.
Thank you. Like I said, I got the email. Let me know to match.
Yeah, for those who can't see, we did not plan to coordinate baseball t-shirts, but that's just how it rolls sometimes with the hats. So, but man, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So it's funny. Because I first met you when I got into TKN a little while ago when we first connected. That was almost 2 years ago now. I can't believe the time that passes. But since then, it's been a blast to follow you on social media with, you know, the work you're doing, especially with you and your wife with Fit Foodies on Wheels and your fitness journey. So no, the content that you're putting out is just an absolute blast. So keep rolling.
We like to tell people we want to look as good as the food that we eat. So it's like, all right, cool. We got to have both, right? Showing people that you don't have to have one or the other.
Exactly. Yeah. No, and I think, well, you know, we'll definitely dive into, you know, some of that. To kick this off though, what I really love to do is just get a little bit into your background story. You know, I like to call it like the comic book origin story, you know, how you really got into, you know, this world of health and fitness and what inspired you to, you know, drive your career towards this path.
For sure. So I'm probably close to 15 years into my, like, I don't know, fitness journey or whatever you want to call it. And so I think a lot of people that have met me, even like potentially yourself, like the last couple of years know me. It's like, oh, cool. Like, it must be nice to be genetically inclined to be healthy all the time, right? Or eat whatever you want and have abs. But the reality is that wasn't the case for the majority of my life. Everyone in my family struggles with weight. I was no different leading into early 20s. So like I graduated high school in an average or decent weight. I was like 165 when I graduated. And then within the first year and a half of graduation, I was working construction, drinking heavily, and just like eating fast food. I got all the way up to 245 pounds. So that's like a very fast weight gain for a year. Okay. And it wasn't until I had a friend kind of like give me a rude awakening, was like, hey, look, like what happened to you? Because I hadn't seen him in since graduation. Saw him again. He was like, dude, like what the hell happened to you? And I was working construction. So like, I just assumed like I was strong versus like being fat. Mm-hmm. And it like, even though a year is fast, it was gradual. Obviously it wasn't overnight. So I was just like, all right, cool. I always wore bigger clothes. So it wasn't like I had to go through the discomfort of buying clothes. It was just, they filled out a little bit more. So for me, it was just like, all right, no big deal. Didn't really notice. But when my friend called me out, He challenged me to do a single pull-up, and that was something that I couldn't do. And it was humiliating enough for me to realize that, like, all right, I should probably do something about this. And then, like most people, I had no idea what I was doing, but I just made the decision to start pushing forward and making small changes every day. And, you know, a decade later, I've built and sold a gym, been in the fitness industry for a couple of years, worked with some awesome nutrition companies, and now do consulting for people in the space in regards to sales. So.
Wow. Yeah. Did you kind of see that call out from your friend coming at all? Or did it just kind of out of the blue? He just was like, you can't do a pull-up. Let me see.
Well, so it was, I didn't necessarily see where he was going with it, but he had been writing me for a while and just like, dude, like you got to do something, or like, you know, whatever, basically you look like a piece of shit. And I was like, well, so and then finally I got tired of him just like ragging on me. And so I was like, well, what's it going to take to get you to shut up? And he was like, all right, if you can do a single pull-up, then I'll drop it. Like, then you're obviously not that out of shape. So I was like, all right, cool. Like, this seems easy enough. And like I said, I was working construction. So like every day I was moving, you know, mm-hmm. 90 pound sacks of concrete all day, or moving stuff all, like picking stuff up and moving. It's like, all right, like if I could do that all day, I should be able to pick myself up. But mm-hmm. like when we went to a high school, when I jumped up on the bar, like I could barely hold my own body weight on the bar. So I was like, oh, this was a lot harder than I thought. Like I said, it was a humbling experience. And like any good friend, he laughed at me for a while and then was like, all right, like if you want, I can help you make some changes. So he kind of guided me in the beginning on establishing a workout routine and, mm-hmm. and making some healthier choices when it came to my intake.
Okay. Was it something that you thought about kind of getting into this field like early on, or was it something kind of along this journey you were like, wow, maybe I can, because I know you had a gym for a while, gym, and then moved off of it. Kind of what was that thought process like of wanting to get into the field?
For sure. When I started, like fitness was something I was ever like super passionate about. I didn't even really like grow up playing sports, whatever. So I'm probably like the least athletic person you've ever met. But in having my own transformation, so like when I started to make some changes, like getting into, you know, working out, doing whatever I could, obviously like I got excited about learning about what's possible. And so it just kind of fed me to like want to do and try more and more. Mm-hmm. And then in like doing it on my own, I lost close to 100 pounds and got to 90 pounds down. So it was like 155 pounds. So like decent transformation on my own. And I think it was just kind of a natural progression, like some people in the fitness industry, where it's like, I had really good results on my own. And so everyone that I knew or that was around me was like, oh, like, what did you do? Can you help me? And so like, I started doing that or coaching people on the side of working construction, just mm-hmm. because it was like, all right, like I have an idea of what to do because I did it myself. And then that kind of snowballed or escalated. I met my wife, she was super into fitness and she wanted to open a gym. And so I was like, oh, like this is cool. I kind of help people on the side anyways. If you want, like I'm down to open a business together. So, so we decided like, all right, like let's give it a try. So we made the decision and then put all our effort into it. And from, you know, deciding to go into business together to 6 months later, we had our grand opening and then grew the business from there.
Okay. All right. And how long did you run the brick and mortar?
We had the brick and mortar for only a couple years. So we had it for just about 3 years, and then built it up and then we sold it. So we sold it right before COVID. It worked out to be perfect timing for us. But in doing so, like we had actually transitioned to 75% of our business was remote. So it was like the majority of us, people weren't coming into the facility. And then the company that bought us out, actually, they just bought accounts receivable, and then we took the remaining people that weren't remote. Mm-hmm. We transitioned them to remote services, and then we liquidated the facility. Okay. So, and the company that purchased our membership base still takes care of them. We're in contact with a lot of them, so it's like they're still taken care of. So it seemed to be a win-win for everyone. We didn't have to weather the COVID storm as a physical facility, mm-hmm. and then it provided some amazing opportunities. That ultimately led to like, you know, where you and I met.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So you guys got on the hybrid model pretty early on. Like, what was it? Did you see experiences from that and you're like, we should go this track? Or was it just something that you kind of just saw foreseeing in your future? Like you wanted to go more into the online space?
Well, so like when I was working with people before, like just like on the side, I didn't work with anyone in person. It was all just like giving them, you know, ways to be successful. Gotcha. Right? And then when we had the facility, it was one of those things where it's like, to some degree, we felt like the facility was limiting to who we could work with. So it was like, all right, cool. Like, rather than being confined to just these walls or how many people could fit in here or class times or training, whatever, we started to experiment with like, all right, like if you want our help, you don't necessarily have to train here. So when people would first like either come into the gym or call in, mm-hmm. we would ask like, all right, cool. Like, are you interested in training here or somewhere else? And most of the time that would throw people off. It was like, wait, like I called you. Why would I train somewhere else? Mm-hmm. It was like, all right, cool. Like, you know, obviously we had a pretty cool setup. At least we like to think so. I was like, all right, like I'm sure it would be fun for you to train here. Cause we had an OCR style gym, so like obstacle course racing. And so it's like, obviously like you can come train here, but realistically, how often are you have access to a facility like this? Like probably not very often. So wouldn't it be more beneficial to learn how to train at home, an apartment gym or a commercial gym that you can pay $10 a month for? And most people are like, oh, like that actually makes more sense. So then we just kind of started doing it like that.
So the gym was, what was it? Kind of like a ninja course?
I mean, yeah. So some people, when they walked in, so like, I mean, when you first walked in, probably looked more like a CrossFit box, but
gotcha.
we had extremely, like aggressive rigs. So mm-hmm. the monkey bars were angled up at almost a 45 degree. Some were higher than that. So I went from like 8 feet up to 15 feet. So our tallest ones were 15 feet. And then we had a bunch of stuff like a spear throw. We had walls to jump. We had okay. some of the obstacles that were on course. Plus we had ropes everywhere. And so the majority of the training that we did was helping people get ready for those races. That's actually how me and my wife met. We met on course at an obstacle course race. So I was like, oh, like that was something we were both passionate about, that community. Everyone in that space is like, oh, there is nowhere to train for this stuff. If there was, mm-hmm. I would be there. So I was like, all right, let's try that. And fucking no one showed up. But that was the initial thought. I was like, all right, cool. Like, well, this is something we love. If we had a place to mm-hmm. train for it, we would be there. And a lot of people in the community said the same thing. So I was like, all right, cool. Like, let's give them a place to train. Mm-hmm. And then ended up realizing like, all right, people need a little bit more help than just, you know, the keys to the kingdom, so to speak.
Right. It's an interesting kind of space, the obstacle course and stuff, because people, I mean, you know, American Ninja Warrior got so big and everybody kind of saw it, but I think so many people still saw it as something that was almost like a novelty. Like, can I really do this in
for
there?
Sure.
And we had a couple places around where I live that opened up, you know, a ninja gym, and the breakdowns, like I thought I was in good shape. Like, yeah. And realize like when you get into some of the coordination stuff, like it challenges you in such a different way, like mentally, like, you know, physically as well, but sure. It's just an absolute blast, you know, to do. Yeah. So I see it catching on more and more. So it's interesting that, you know, you and your wife were both really inspired to do that.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah. No, nice. Okay. So then really in the last, was it like year and change, you know, you and your wife decided to kind of pack up and kind of become a mobile couple and pretty much went, was it all across the country? Pretty much going yeah. to, you know, just eating different foods, you know, working out at different spaces and really documenting it from there, right?
Yeah. I mean, we both love food. And I was working, running sales and marketing for a company that the company we met with, our TKS. Mm-hmm. I was running their sales and marketing, which was a remote position, which was the first time I had ever had like a fully remote position. And so I was like, all right, like we don't have to stay anywhere. If I can work from anywhere, then we could technically go wherever we want. Mm-hmm. Our lease was up in our, you know, spot in downtown San Diego. So I was like, all right, are we going to re-sign our lease or what are we going to do? And then we decided like, all right, cool. Like let's hit the road. We love food. Let's explore and go wherever, you know, we would joke that we'd go wherever the food took us. Right. So for us, like our messaging back and forth on like Instagram or like Facebook is all just like food stuff. So it was like all this shit that we've been sending back and forth, let's just go eat it. Right. So, and then both me and my wife, you know, might be a slight rebellious sense of pride. It was like, all right, like showing people what's possible. Cause most of the time, he was like, oh, like I would be in really good shape except for I love food. It's like, yeah, so do we. Like it doesn't make it possible. So I was like, all right, cool. Like we'll go explore, enjoy all these foods, and do our best not to just like, you know, be extremely unhealthy when it comes to the way that we look and feel. And so we were 100% mobile for just over 10 months, traveling everywhere from like we started in Southern California drove all the way across the United States, stopping in, you know, like Texas, Tennessee, mm-hmm. a couple other states along the way, worked our way up to, you know, like East Coast and New York, Connecticut, New Jersey. Things were a little bit weird with COVID up there in the city, so we decided mm-hmm. to head down south, worked our way down to Florida because Florida was a lot more open, did some exploring okay. in Florida. From Florida, we actually flew out on a couple trips just because it was like, all right, there's some places that we wanted to go, but mm-hmm. it was like we were going to drive all the way back up the East Coast. So we like flew to Philly, flew to a few other places, stayed there for a couple days or weeks, just and we're ridiculous enough where neither one of us had had a cheesesteak, which is why we went to Philly. It's like, all right, if we're going to do it and we're on this food adventure, we might as well just fly to Philly and get it where they're from.
Right.
So all the things that people have the idea or same with like, you know, deep dish pizza. It's like, all right, let's go to Chicago. Right. All the things that people would want to do, we were mm-hmm. ridiculous enough to like make it happen.
It is funny because like following all the stuff that you guys post with all this food, it's like, I think everybody in their head is like, this is my dream. Like just like just to at some point, just kind of get in the car and just hit all these different spots. There's channels just specifically for this that people follow all the time. But what I love that you found is, you know, you and Sammy, and I know, you know, Sammy was a coach with TKM while you were doing sales and marketing, and is showing that you can still stay in really good and peak fitness while still eating all these foods that you love. There's a way to do it.
For
of
sure.
getting it. So was that the message that you guys wanted to kind of portray as you did this? Or was it more just like you just wanted to do this just for an experience, you know, for you and your wife?
I mean, a little bit of both, but I think like part of the reason that we went with the handle Fit Foodies on Wheels is because we wanted to kind of break the, you know, the limiting belief that if you're a foodie, you can't be in good shape, and to show people that, yeah, like, you really can eat all of these amazing foods. They're not good, bad, taboo, whatever, and still be in shape. So that was definitely, you know, a cornerstone of why we did what we did or do what we did. Cause we still do it. I mean, since we just got a house in Austin. Since we've been here, we've flown to Anaheim for, you know, some food ventures, drove around. We do, you know, a couple things each week just to continue to explore, find good foods and, you know, figure out what the evolution of our food and fitness looks like.
Nice. Okay. Do you coordinate with the owners or the people who have these restaurants that you want to go to and kind of tell them that this is kind of what our goal is to do, is kind of promote kind of Fit Foodies?
I mean, sometimes the majority of the time, if and when we coordinate with an owner before, it's more just you know, for lack of a better term, just kind of praising them and say, hey, look, like your spot looks so amazing enough that like me and my wife travel around for food. We want to travel over here to check you guys out. What do you think that we should get or do to get the best experience at your restaurant? Right. And then most of the time they're awesome. Like we've had a bunch of restaurants kind of, you know, for lack of better terms, roll out their red carpet, and just like completely take care of us. But the majority of the time, if we coordinate before, it's just to find out like what they would consider as their best dish. So that way, like we can go, or like what they would say is like the experience that they would want to provide at their restaurant. That way we could go there and try to live up to the name of the restaurant as much as possible. And then we share the experience with whoever, but not necessarily angled as like, oh, we want to promote your business. It's like, hey, look, it looks good enough to get us there. If we make the trip, what should we eat?
Gotcha. Okay. Well, and you know, so you can look at this stuff on the surface and just probably just make the assumption that, oh, well, this is just two genetically perfect people. They just stay super fit and they can just eat whatever they want from there. But in reality, like there's a plan in a way that you guys can enjoy all this food and still, you know, maintain the goals and the fitness level that you're at. It's not just a, you know, just a gluttonous parade that you guys are doing on a day by day basis. There's actually a plan to it, right?
For sure. I mean, it's one of the things that it's very calculated. And a lot of times people ask like, oh, how is it possible? And like the reality is that I tell people, it's like, we're just willing to do what most people aren't willing to do. And it's the boring work of measuring and tracking the things that we're eating. Right. And so it's not that we work out excessively on the back end to try to make up for it, because that's a losing battle.
Yeah.
So like for me, I only work out, you know, 3-4 days a week, maintain fairly decent, you know, like aesthetic or physique. I think I've been since my massive weight loss, been sub 10% body fat almost the entire time. Mm-hmm. So like being able to do what we did and stay, you know, with visible definition does take a lot of intention. So The only way that we can do it with some accuracy is even on our bigger days, like we won't know exactly how many calories we have, but we you know, approximate or guesstimate the overall calories, and then we track that over, you know, days, weeks, and see how our body responds, and then just being very intentional about making any adjustments as needed when we're not out at a restaurant having, you know, a bunch of fun with, you know, outrageous amounts of food.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So it's, what's your plan that you kind of go into, you know, these ventures with? Is it something that you do kind of on a weekly basis? Are you tracking more on kind of a day by day and seeing how you feel, you know, from there? Cause I think that's probably where a lot of people get stuck, because they would view, you know, the stuff that you guys post out there as like, this is what I would love to do. I'd love to be in shape. I'd love to feel great, but still be able to enjoy and go out with friends and family and have this from there. So how do you guys kind of monitor and plan, you know, this for yourself so you can stay on the right track?
For sure. I think it's something that's, it's definitely an evolution or has continued to change. And I think for most people, you'd have to do a little bit of like, you know, inner work or asking yourself the question, like, how exactly would you like to enjoy this? Cause like when me and my wife first started, it was more about enjoying a little bit all the time. Right. So it was like, oh, like we love like cookies, brownies, burgers, pizza, whatever. So it was like, oh, cool. Like every day we would split one of those things. Like, all right, cool. Like let's share a cookie or share a brownie or like go get some pizza. And we would share everything. But then in our travel, like when we would go to one specific place and we'd meet with these restaurant owners and they would just like keep bringing out food, like sharing one slice of pizza, when the owner of a restaurant brings out everything on the menu, is like, there's no fucking way. So like then it was like, all right, like we ate a bunch there and then we accounted for it in the rest of the days. So now like when we do this, it's like, all right, if and when we're going to enjoy, we want to enjoy like a feast versus like what we were doing in the past, like worked in the past. But if we tried to do that now, it would be almost like a tease and we would be unhappy. So it's like, all right, cool. Like what do we need to do every day of the week so that one, two, or three days out of the week, we can go out and enjoy a really big meal, mm-hmm. right? But for us, knowing our, you know, for lack of better terms, like caloric window helps, right? Like how many calories do I need to eat in order for me to see weight loss or maintenance? Mm-hmm. How many calories, what's the tipping point of the threshold that if I exceed this many calories, then I'm going to be gaining weight like in a way that I don't like, right?
Right.
And so knowing those thresholds or those windows allows me to be able to take a look. It's like, all right, cool. If I want to eat, you know, 6, 7, 10,000 calories on the weekend, what do I have to eat every day leading up to that in order to make that happen and not have any negative side effects? Mm-hmm. And then asking the question, like, is that really worth it? Right? Like, is it worth, like, is eating, or like, is it doable? Right? Cause like you could say, like, oh, I just eat 500 calories. But like, for me, that wouldn't be doable. Right? I would be fucking miserable. Right?
Right.
And so like, there is a trade-off. So for me, like, it's like, all right, cool. Like knowing what I can comfortably eat all week, and then setting a cap for some of those bigger days on the weekend or in the middle of the week. We don't stick to like, you know, it's only this day or only that day. We move it around depending on like life and schedule and all of that.
Right.
But knowing that like, all right, cool. We kind of have hard caps on the days that we're not going out. And then when we do go out, it allows for a larger cap. And then we just monitor everything to make sure that like we're trending in a positive direction, or at the very worst, maintaining. So we know what those windows are, so we can push the boundaries a little bit.
Yeah. I love how you said it's an evolution and it's always evolving from there. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of people get stuck thinking like, oh, this is the plan. So this is my plan now for the rest of my life in order to do it. When in reality, it's got to be constantly changing and adjusting. You know, a story pops into my mind of when I first got into, you know, working with TKN and understood the tracking mechanisms and looking at it on a weekly basis. And the team that I was working with at the time, we had our holiday party. So we were going out to nice Italian restaurant and it was like, all right, we're going ham. It's like the first time we're going out for a bit. And I don't know how many calories were consumed that night, but it was an over in abundance, you know, from there. And you know, the things that, you know, you kind of forget is that the next day and even the day afterwards, like you definitely felt the lethargy start to come in. The joints felt a little bit there too. So I think after that, knowing like, okay, like you can do all this, but is it worth it? Is it no, like, okay, like I'm going to do this, but you have to know in your head, all right, the next day I am going to feel maybe a little bit, you know, sure, off. It is going to take some time just to build up. So being okay with it, I think asking that question beforehand allows you to really be able to, you know, to do this and always get really what's best for you, right?
For sure. And so, like you said, it's, I think there's always power in making an informed decision versus like, you know, just doing whatever and then dealing with the consequences, right? Mm-hmm. Cause like there has been days, like there's been days where I've hit 20,000 calories and then the next day I felt like I hit by a fucking truck. Like, and so it's just like you said, joints hurt, like lethargic, like, oh my God, like it's miserable. And that's funny. Cause you see people like, I wish I could eat like that. I'm like, no, you don't. Like you've obviously never eaten like that, because if you did, you wouldn't want that. Right. But also using as a learning experience, like, all right, like maybe that's too much, or like, what's the threshold? Or like, sometimes I like to relate it to like alcohol, right? Like having a drink isn't bad, but you also probably know at which point you're going to regret it tomorrow. And so like at any time you could make that decision was like, you know what, like it's, you know, New Year's Eve or it's my birthday and I want to go hard tonight and I'm okay with fucking sleeping, you know, the rest of the day tomorrow, because I think that's the only way I can enjoy my birthday, or like whatever it is, right? And so it's like, all right, cool. Like you make that informed decision to consume more alcohol than you would normally do it, and you pay the price the next day, right? But making that decision beforehand consciously is where you have power, versus like letting the day get away from you or the night get away from you and then the next day paying for it.
Right. Yeah, I think it's such a vital lesson that, you know, I learned when I was working with my old coach, Huggy. He had that when we did a refeed day. So we're increasing calories on one day to get back into a build. And this thing he told me right off the bat, he's like, pick the day ahead of time. Like, don't just go into the day and say, oh, you fucked up, so I'm just going to make this my day now. He's like, that's a victim mentality. And that stuck in my head so much with nutrition, of like how much we just go into the day and just being like, oh, well, I wasn't supposed to eat that, so I'll just make this my day off and then just go. Not thinking in our head that, no, that's a pattern that we get into where we just do it on a day-by-day basis. So as I think you said, just to reiterate, it's like you can have these days, but plan it ahead and also know that there might be some consequences that are coming afterwards that are not good nor bad, just they are what they are.
For sure. Well, and like one of the things, and this is like, it's kind of related but not related, but I like to do, or was fun for me, is that like typically our bigger days are days that I don't work out. And it's funny because like a lot of times people are like, oh, like train hard, eat harder. Like when they see us, like, oh, it must be because you smashed a crazy workout. It's like, if this is something that you do on a regular basis, like I would, on the days that we eat, I would rather just enjoy the day, eat whatever, and realize that like all of that stored energy will be utilized in my workouts on other days, or they're used for, you know, past like whatever. So it doesn't necessarily, or at least for me, it helped break the association with like, oh, I earned this food so I can go crazy because I crushed my workout. Mm-hmm. So like for a while, and I still don't know, like I separated the two. It's like, all right, I have my workout days, and those are typically days where I'm focused in on work, dialed in on nutrition. And then on the days that I'm not doing those things, I have a cap that I don't exceed, and I just enjoy the day 100% for what it is and make sure that I don't completely go crazy. Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you learned down the line? Did you used to try and do like the workout hard during that day when you were doing it, or is that something that you've always kind of followed?
So, I mean, I think like when we had the gym, it wasn't necessarily like we weren't doing like crazy days. When we had the gym, there was a lot of, I would say that correlation, right? Like we, on New Year's every year at the gym, we would do like a donuts and deadlifts to bring in the New Year. So we just like get a bunch of donuts or sweets and we'd overeat those and then lift really heavy. And it was like, all right, cool. Like it's okay to have all the donuts because we're training hard. It's like, mm-hmm. It doesn't really like work that way. Right. It's not that cut and dry. And so like, I think it just came from learning more and more about nutrition, how my body responds. And then realize like, oh, cool. Like it's, like you said, it's not that black and white or cut or dry where it's like, all right, cool. Like just because I feel like I worked harder, I can justify this many calories. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, I'm sure you've seen this with the people that you work with. Sometimes like working out crazy and crazy or more and more frequent actually can have an adverse effect, because what happens is like people's overall movement goes down or yes. Their food drive goes up. Cause it's like, oh, I've been working out really hard, so it's okay to Netflix and chill. Right. Whereas like if they weren't working out, they would be a little bit more active overall. And so they would be at a higher expenditure just from normal movement versus like working out strenuously for an hour and then being a potato the rest of the day. And so I was like, all right, like, but finding out what you enjoy. Some people like, you know, killing it and then being a potato. Some people just like to move around a lot. So finding out like what works for you.
That's a really interesting point that you think like it is. It kind of goes back to that same mentality of like, well, I'm going to do this, so I'm just going to work out extra hard, not realizing that maybe the food that you ate that you're not totally accustomed to that, you know, maybe just causes some more inflammation. So you have a little bit of joint issues. Yeah. If you're working out really hard, but your movement quality goes down and goes to shit, then you're probably not getting all the benefits that you're looking for. You might get the sweat, you know, you might feel like your heart rate's going up, but actually it is more of an adverse reaction to it. So, you know, just enjoying that whole day of like, okay, this is the day when, you know, we're going out, we're enjoying this, and then let your body rest and recover and get back to it. So you can really crush out your workouts, you know, might actually be a much better idea for you.
For sure. Well, like we, I mean, when we first started some of the bigger days, like, all right, like let's try to get a workout in, but same thing. It got to the point where like, you know, if there wasn't enough time in the day or things felt rushed, I was like, all right, like we could do that on a different day and then just fully enjoy this and, you know, relax, let our body recover, or if anything, get some, you know, make sure our steps are up and just general movement versus like focused, you know, 45 minutes to an hour of hard training. Mm-hmm.
Do you change your workout at all or have a specific workout plan like after a day when you guys are, you know, going more on the high calorie days?
No, I mean, I'm pretty simplistic when it comes to training. I mean, I've been doing like the exact same three or four workouts every week for the past couple months. I find something that I like and I just stick with it.
I get
intensity by, increasing weight and, you know, rep range, if anything. So like the exercises are exactly the same, but if I'm going to vary intensity, it has to do with like, pushing for different weights or rep ranges.
Gotcha. Okay. Is there any places that stick out in your mind over the last, you know, journeys that were like, yeah, these places we're going back to these places soon?
Oh, for sure. So there's one place, and it's probably like most people be like, what the like hell? and it's actually like same thing. Like a lot of the places that we went purely for food. So like some of the destinations that we went, people were like, why the hell would you go to that city? Because like, oh, like there's this restaurant that we had been following and it looks amazing. So like we went to Stamford, Connecticut, and saying most people are like, why the hell would you drive from San Diego to Stamford, Connecticut? And it was for this one diner. So the diner is called Elm Street Diner. We actually stayed there for 6 weeks because like the diner was so amazing. We were there like every week. The second time we were there, we got there at 12:30 in the afternoon and like food was coming out until 7:30 in the evening. So we were sitting there for like, 7 to 8 hours, just like nonstop food. So that was one of those days where it was like, I definitely felt it the next day.
Was it just all diner based food? Like just.
Well, so like the owner of the diner, his name is John. He's awesome. But he takes pride in kind of like creating an over the top experience. And so like a lot of they're known for like their crazy big shakes or like waffle French toast towers or like, even some of their like, you know, savory dishes get super insane. So it would be like a lot of the stuff that he has out is very similar. Like you said, it's like people look at it like, oh my God, like that looks like a dream. Right. And so it's like a tower of like waffles and ice cream and candy bars or like, you know, a sandwich like stacked so high. It looks like something that like Scooby-Doo would be like, oh, my dream. So it's like food like that. So kind of close to traditional diner stuff, but like, done really well and over the top, and like the presentation is phenomenal, but it tastes good too. Like there's nothing that we had there that didn't taste amazing, and it was such a wide range, everything from like Greek food to waffles. It was like it's a wide range, but everything was phenomenal. So it's like that place definitely stands out. In California, there's a small restaurant chain that's like that actually started like when COVID like hit. So their first restaurant, their initial opening got pushed back because COVID. But they've done so well in the past, you know, 18 months, 2 years, whatever, that they're already at 5 locations, and they built an additional concept in addition to their flagship. And it's one of our favorite places. Same thing. Owners are amazing. So the restaurant, the fast casual version, like their original concept, is called Smoke and Fire Official. And it's like fast casual kind of Texas style barbecue, but in Southern California. And then their bigger elevated concept is called Craft by Smoke Fire. Okay. And it's like full on, like, you know, barbecue spread as well as steak. So you could go and get like a 2-pound tomahawk or like a huge porterhouse, and they do it as like a share thing where they cook it and they slice it all up, bring it out all like cool presented, full bar. But like they're, that place, like anything that you get there is amazing, whether it's a fast casual spot or going to Craft. And saying, like, we've been to all of their locations because they were that good. And then if you go sweets, we really like Salty Donut. Same thing, we've been to all of their locations. So like they have a couple in Miami, or a couple in Texas, and we've been to all of the locations, and they're just a very fancy donut.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's so interesting with food because there's such a culture based around it. Like I can even just envision like going to that place in Connecticut and the guy coming out, and it's like, you know, a lot of it's, you know, there's always that battle, especially in the fitness world with fitness professionals, like, oh, food is fuel. It's like, and also it's like, no, food is really enjoyable, and it's around all of our family events. It's around a lot of emotional aspects of it. And it's not something that you need to deprive yourself of as long as you kind of plan it out before and you can see. So it's like all these places, you know, if anybody's listening on this, it's like, yeah, you can go to all these places and still stay on your fitness plan and your track and enjoy it, you know, as long as, you know, as long as you're planning it out on the other days as well. Cause all this stuff is just super exciting to hear. Like food is an exciting thing, you know, in our lives. And a lot of times I think we think we need to deprive ourselves and put ourselves into such this, you know, bucket of, you know, chicken, rice, and broccoli on an everyday basis. It's like, yeah, that serves its purpose for some things too, but, you know, it doesn't mean that you can't stay fit, still, you know, can't stay healthy while enjoying these things with friends and family.
For sure. Well, and like another, you know, connection that we make is always like, you know, it's very similar to your finances, right? Like if you understand your budget, then you know how much you can or can't spend on a daily basis. Some days, like, you're, you know, you're more on like a poverty budget, and then you make the decision that like on the weekend you're going to spend a little bit more, right? But if you overspend, you're going to, you know, pull from credit or overdraft your account and put yourself in a bad position, right? And so it's the same thing with like, or like you were saying, you know, earlier, whereas like you can make the decision moving forward. So like if you were to like related to finances, if you know, like, oh, you have a vacation coming up, you'll potentially save a little bit more. So that way, when you go on the vacation, you can spend a little bit more freely, and then finances will be adjusted afterwards, right? So like, if you look at your calories and your fitness the same way, it's a continuum. Like you don't make and spend all your money on a single day, right? And some days are up and down, back and forth, but knowing, you know, where you need to stay within so that you don't damage yourself, like your financial health or your physical health, makes for way more freedom.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's true. And just like finances, right? If you just check in on your budget, you know, once in a while, and just make sure that you're not overspending and you're, you know, putting, you're depositing more than you're withdrawing, then all these things come about. So, and your experiences of working with, you know, Superhuman and with TKN and stuff, and seeing this, do you think that most people have more of the issue with kind of getting into the tracking, or is it more of just like kind of these going off the rails and thinking that they can't get back on the right track?
I would say neither. Okay. So I would say that most people, and it's just like, it's a view from society that like it has to do with a specific meal plan or a specific workout. So like I've run sales for a lot of companies, and like including my own, that have to do with, you know, improvement, helping people get in better, you know, physical, mental, emotional state. And it's always like, well, I just need a harder workout, or I just need a stricter meal plan, right? And it's like if that were the case, everyone would be jacked and tanned because there would be some special meal plan that everyone could follow and it would look fantastic. And so it's almost breaking the limiting beliefs that like, it's not the plan itself. It's not having a customized workout plan. It's not having a customized meal plan. It's that like you have to measure and track all of the things that you do if you want to see progress, right? And like getting people to believe that that's the difference is probably the biggest mover. Because once you get someone to realize like, oh, cool, like it doesn't really matter what I'm doing as long as I'm tracking the results of my effort, then I can change my effort and then I can get a calculated result. But most people just shoot blind and then they step on the scale and they hope it's going to move, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas like if you're measuring and tracking before, then like you have a pretty good idea of how much, like even on some of our big days, I could almost guess to like the decimal how much weight I'm going to gain overnight.
Right.
Just because like I have enough data to know, like, all right, I've consumed this many calories. I'll probably be, you know, like my biggest swing is 14 pounds in a single day. Right. And so it's like, all right, but like, I knew that like after eating this much, I'll probably be up this amount. Right. Like I was telling you before we started recording, like, this weekend we went hard. And so, yeah, like I had a 6 pound flex, from Saturday to Sunday, but I'm also down 5.5 today because I, you know, back to a baseline. Right.
Right.
But like, because we have the numbers beforehand, I know that like, all right, when I do this, this will be the result and this is where I'm going to be afterwards. So getting people to that point is probably, the most key thing. It's like, all right, realizing that, the power is in the tracking, not necessarily the special workout plan or meal.
Yeah, no, it is. It's, you know, it's so interesting when you get into tracking, because the term that I always found is how empowering it is. Not just when things aren't going right, like you step on the scale and it's up. A lot of times if we're not tracking, so we just naturally start to shop diagnoses and start throwing shit at the wall and say, oh, well, maybe it's this. Well, maybe it's this. Well, muscle weighs more than fat, you know, so because I worked out 3 times this week. It's like, you know, so on and so. But at the same time too, it's if things are going well, and then you look back and you can track it and say, oh, well, this is what I did and this is why it's going well. That's even almost more empowering.
Oh, for sure.
So it's a lot of times I think we think in our heads, like we just track so that when things go off the rails, we know what we need to do to get back on track. It's like, no, it's actually knowing why you became successful in the first place. Because I think sometimes if we don't track that, naturally we'll go back to our old patterns and you might even self-sabotage yourself to go back to where you think you're supposed to be.
For sure. Well, it's like even like, you know, if you were to talk about sales, they say like, all right, like it's actually more beneficial to watch sales calls, like your sales calls or other sales calls when you're on fire and you're closing more deals than it is to watch bad ones and see how you can fix it. Cause what you're doing is you're learning from your success versus trying to figure out your failures. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, all right, cool. Like you said, you're tracking and you're seeing like, all right, like this is what worked. I'll just do more of what works versus being like, well, what's wrong? How can I fix it? I don't know. Just do what was working before. But yeah, it is very empowering. And then it also allows for like, especially if you're looking at numbers, right? Whereas like if you're tracking, you know, macros or calories and you're eating the same amount of macros or calories and your overall activity is similar. And this is something that was huge for us when we were traveling. It's like, you know, sleep varies when you're in different places, you have water fluctuations, different types of foods, your body will respond differently too. So like if you have the same amount of calories, and same general movement, but your weight spikes or goes down, then you know that it is more of an adverse reaction to the food that you ate, right? Or water retention or sodium, or it's more of an outlier versus like, oh, I gained weight. Cause it's like, there's no way like physically possible for you to eat the same amount of calories every day and then one day just massively gain weight.
Right.
It's like there, something else was a factor. Mm-hmm. It allows you to be able to know, oh, cool, it was this one thing. So I don't have to worry about the 4 pounds because like tomorrow it will be gone, or over the next couple of days, it will go away and I'll actually be better off than I was before. But the numbers help. Because most of the time people see that jump, they're like, screw it, right? Yeah. And they snowball out and then it's like, all right, cool. Like now they really are in a worse situation. But having the numbers allows you to be like, all right, cool, like there's no way this can actually be a permanent bad thing because I was doing the exact same thing every day.
Right. Exactly. You know, it reminds me of one of my favorite books I read this year was Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Lights. Did you read that book?
No, John has actually said that I should read it. It's good.
Oh, it's a great book. It's, you know, it's McConaughey, which is just a blast and a half right there, you know, and you living in Austin, Texas now, I think it might be like a staple that you have to, if you're going to stay a Texas, you know, patron. But he talks about, you know, he journaled for, I think like 35 years, you know, he just had all the stuff. And like everybody who starts journaling a lot on a day, it's usually when you're kind of an adolescent and you're like, oh, why doesn't Susie love me or stuff like that. It's like, just kind of like these surface type things. But when he got into it, he realized that things were going really well in his life. So he started to journal that down. And he's like, well, we always think of going to these things when things aren't going well. We're trying to build ourselves out of a hole that we're at. Right. Like, maybe it is more important that actually we document when things are going really well and really right in our lives. Right. So if things do fall off slightly, we know the things that we did before to get back on track.
Yeah, for sure. It's almost like you know, if you wanted to be more religious, right? It's like people only pray when they're like backs up against the walls. Like if you just, you know, if you live in a way that aligns with that, then you may not be in the situation where it's like you have to pray last minute for like, if you could just save me this one time, I'll love you forever. Yeah. I'll be good.
It is. You know, it's funny that you brought that up. I heard that before. Of forget who said it, but they were talking about like prayer, and it's like, you know, you like when your day is like 1 out of 10, when you have like a day that's like a 1, like everything's just all fucked up, it's like that's when you like you pray hard to kind of get yourself out. But also like when things are 9 or 10, you're like praying to, hey, thanks so much for everything and stuff. But most days a lot of times are somewhere in like that 5 to 7 range when it's just kind of going through the motion. It's like, why not focus on those days more as well? So like it's easy to follow a nutrition plan when you're really feeling down in the dumps and you like put yourself motivation. All right, I'm going to get this done today. All right. But in reality, a lot of times it's going to ebb and flow all the time. Just keep tracking it on everything and you're going to have the data that you can enjoy these days, or you know, maybe it's a time that you go a little bit more, you know, with some rigid planning if you're trying to do some stuff.
For sure. Know? Well, I think like everyone wants freedom, but I think the discipline comes, like the freedom comes with the discipline, right? And it's not necessarily the discipline of like always eating the same thing or always working out. I do, like for me personally, it's the discipline of measuring and tracking even when I don't want to. That way, like I can use all that information in the future. It allows for way more freedom, right? Like I said, not necessarily the discipline of like, oh, saying no. Sometimes it's the discipline of saying yes and seeing what fucking happens, right?
Right.
Because then you know, right? And it's like, all right, cool. Like this was actually more empowering than white knuckling it and seeing how far I can push my willpower, right? Because then you'll know, like, all right, this is what happens if and when I do these things, and you can move forward. Know, like, all right, I'm okay with that right now.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So is there any places now on your radar that you guys are looking that you're excited to go explore on this food journey?
No like huge like travel specifically for one place in the like foreseeable future. My parents are coming into town tomorrow, so we have some fun stuff planned for like, you know, this weekend, and then it's also our anniversary at the end of next week. So the end of next week we're gonna go to Dallas. So it's not too far. But there's a place called Yardbird out there. They have one in LA and they have one in Vegas as well. Mm-hmm. But they have a couple dishes that like look phenomenal. Or like, it's like, all right, we want to go there just for that. One of them is just a dessert. So like they have this huge chocolate cake that's so it's chocolate, like bacon and bourbon or something, and peanut butter or something like that. So it just looks amazing.
Oh my God.
So it's like, we'll go there for that. Plus we have the rest of the food is really good too. And then there's also, there's a pizza spot out there. And the owner is really good friends with one of our friends that we met along our journey. He said his pizza is really good. And they do what they call a Texas style pizza, which I've never heard of before. Cause I've heard obviously like New York style and Chicago.
Right.
So I guess like Texas style is they make the pizza like you normally would, except for they put sauce all the way to the edge of the pizza, and then they fold the crust over. So it's almost like a filled crust, except for it looks really weird because it kind of looks like a deep dish that doesn't have a bunch of pizza in it. Like it's not full, so it's like it's got a weird edge. But it looks phenomenal. We heard it was good, so it's like, all right, we'll try that out.
So there's a Texas, like you guys had Tex-Mex, you got to jump into the pizza world now and you got to have your own pizza.
Yeah, mate, you got to, right? It's like, all right, cool. What? I could have just been a mess up. It's like, what kind of pizza is this? Like, oh, fuck, it's a Texas pizza. They're just making stuff up. But like they look phenomenal and everyone says they're good. So there's a couple places that we're going to hit in Dallas next week. But for the next couple weeks, we're probably just going to continue to kick it local to Austin before we go out and travel. It's been nice to be in the same place, getting back into an established routine. Cause like I said, moving around every couple days or weeks, figuring out like where grocery stores were, where gyms were, how work was going to work, was same thing. Like everyone's always like, oh, it must be nice to travel. It's like, to do it and, grow a business or maintain health. Like it's a lot of work. So just enjoying not having to travel. I think, last weekend was like one of the first times that me and my wife actually had like time to spare, like at the end of a Sunday, we're like, huh, we could like just relax.
Yeah. How long were you on the road all in four?
Just over 10 months.
10 months. Yeah. It's that funny. It's that term must be nice, right? Everybody throws out there. It's like, it's just such a simple type thing when in reality, I'm thinking of all the things that could impact, like you said, the stress, variation of just going from different place to place, which challenge and affect it. So, I think, so it seems like, I mean, really to do all these things and to enjoy all this stuff, it comes down to, track what you're doing, keep the data available for you so you can make, accurate decisions. Did you guys kind of coach each other at all, like in your plans, or did you both kind of feel like you had a pretty good handle?
So, I mean, we always like, check in with each other, kind of bounce ideas off what you're thinking, how we're doing, then also get feedback for, cause like you said, you like coaching yourself, you can justify or make all these excuses. But having someone that's, my wife looks at me, so it's like, all right, like, well, what, like, how am I doing kind of deal, right? Like, am I, like I said before, I gained, almost 100 pounds and it happened incrementally. So it's like, no big deal. So like, all right, like, hey, if I'm getting off the rails, then you need to pull it in. Gotcha. And so like having those kinds of, talks in regards to like, facing reality. It's like, all right, cool. Like, what are we going to do? Obviously sometimes you make a plan and then you execute it. You're like, oh, that didn't work. So like, how can we adjust? But having, using each other as a soundboard, not necessarily 100% coaching each other, but checking in saying like, hey, look, like this is what I'm thinking. How do you feel about it? And then just like building on it from there. And then same thing, like when we first got to Austin, it was like, oh, we'll go back to how we used to eat. And then we both realized real quick, like, oh, like that's not going to work anymore after everything that we've done. Mm-hmm. So we have to figure out a different way to incorporate food now. That's more in alignment with how we want to enjoy food currently.
Gotcha.
Which is why we have them.
And we're back. Sorry about that, folks. So we kind of closed out there as you got into Austin and you were, your whole just food pattern kind of changed from what you were doing before. You're thinking you were going to go back to just how you were eating before, but realized a lot of things had to change for you.
Oh yeah. And so it was like, after experiencing the volume of food that we did on our travel, it was like, there's no way that we could go to just having little bits all the time. So how could we restructure our intake to be able to still be able to enjoy food, but make progress? So it took a little bit of time to figure that out, but we're in a pretty good groove now. Like I said, we have, higher days and lower days. The lower days are still enjoyable, but then they also leave a decent amount of room on some of the days where we want to go explore.
Gotcha.
And then same thing, just monitoring everything. That way we can continue to make progress.
Awesome, man. Well, dude, it's been great having you on here. It's been a blast connecting again. So, really appreciate your time. If people want to check out more of your content online and kind of check out Fit Foodies, what's the best place for people to go to?
Fit Foodies on Wheels on Instagram, Fit Foodies on Wheels.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, Mickey, dude, appreciate it, man. Keep doing what you're doing. It's awesome.
Thank you, sir.
And people, thank you so much for listening. If you want to check out more of Mickey's stuff, Fit Foodies on Wheels, you know where to do that. And we'll see you on the next one. Thanks for connecting. Thank you so much for listening, guys. I hope you came away with great stories and insights that you can use to create more strength and success in your life. Remember, now for a time, you can grab a free copy of the 1 Day Strength Challenge, the playbook that incorporates proven strength aerobics training along with the skill of intuition to help you create, design, and achieve your perfect training plan that fits around your busy schedule. Just go to www.thebreakthroughsecrets.com and grab your free copy today. It's your life. Make it the strongest possible. Catch you guys later.